Hey everyone, my name is Jack Williams with
Eston Castro,
and welcome to another episode of Seminal Script. As you can tell, this isn't the practice fields outside of Doak Campbell. This is our office at the Tallahassee Democrats because it's raining outside currently, so we had to relocate, excuse me, but we have the same exact show that you guys have been watching throughout the weeks that we hope you're watching throughout the weeks, where we're just going to debrief last game this week, the game coming up, but yeah, we'll get into it just in a second, but Eston has some announcement to make about what's coming up next for what we're going to do going forward.
Yeah, so we're going to expand a little bit. We'll have the 15 minutes on video for you guys to watch for the football, but the second 15 will also be on Spotify. You can listen to, we're going to talk about soccer, a little bit of basketball, a little baseball, softball, all things Seminole. We're going to make a Seminole script about everything Florida State sports, but football will dominate the first half as we usually do and be part of our Seminole script roundtable, which goes up on Thursday mornings.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just we're just trying to give as much information as we can to you guys. We're on the ground all the time, so we'd love to share what we've been seeing from, like you said, soccer, football, just about everywhere. So it's just another pinpoint to access to you guys about what's going on with Florida State Athletics. But you guys can see that coming up. But let's talk about last game. Let's talk about Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. That was, I think someone made it. I had a great conversation with somebody, Dustin Lewis of Noel Game Day. I was talking to him. That game never felt like it was in doubt. You just knew Florida State was going to pull it off. But it was interesting because it was a 5-point game at one point. Virginia Tech cut the lead down to 5. Johnny Wilson goes down the next play. And then Trey Benson makes out the run. If that play, Trey Benson run, does not happen, that was game changing. That was like, you know, game defining. Because that run doesn't happen, let's say get punted again. Virginia Tech has the ball with a chance to take the lead. I still don't know if you feel, because Virginia Tech's offense never found the rhythm. They never looked good. The defense was always on its heels, it felt like. You never felt like Virginia Tech was going to win that game, but they had a chance. Like, that's a weird thing. Like,
they did.
Florida State did not, once again, did not play a complete game, did not play their best game. It was my column this week is, what at this point, if we're still asking what their best game is, if they're coming to the press conference 6 weeks in, five games in, what is their best game? Do they have an A game?
Essentially, I mean, as you mentioned it before, Virginia Tech's offense really didn't find a rhythm and stuff like that. But you have to mention, too, that the cliche thing, they dominated that window of the game that all the coaches from high school to, like Powderpuff little kids all the way up to college, they dominated that window that all the coaches say you need to, where it's at the end of the second quarter going into the third quarter. They really looked well in the second quarter. That was after debatably FSU came off of their best first quarter I've seen. Best quarter period, honestly, the entire season. They were unbelievable, and I thought, wow, they have a chance to play that complete game. And then you saw the response that happened in the second quarter, and things kind of went downhill. And then you saw what happened after halftime, where Virginia Tech's running back returned that 99-yard kickoff return to the house. And suddenly, as you mentioned, it became a whole different game. That Virginia Tech, suddenly, if they were able to get things going, like you said, if some specific plays didn't happen, especially if Trey Benson didn't go off the way he did, this could be a very different conversation that we could be having right now.
But the thing you want, the positive thing you want to take from that is, this happened at Boston College. They did not respond. They got lucky to escape to that win. They respond this game. That's a positive they could take, because they learned from the Boston College game. And they talked about it in the post game as well. That was something they learned from. They did not want it to snowball. They did not let it, like, you know, defeat themselves on the sideline. Like, oh, one play happened, one thing happened. They were talking to someone, we're not going to let Boston College happen again. We're not going to let Boston College happen again. So that was a good lesson for the team to learn from. And they responded well and just dominated from that. The defense had a low point in the second half. Every point came on a special teams play. The offense scored, like, you know, a bunch of points after, was it 22-17 at that point? Mm-hmm. They rattled off the final 17 points in the game. So they took care of it from that point on. They did not let it, you know, snowball like we did at Boston College. So you can say, yes, there's a negative is, like, what is their A game? Like, you keep talking about it, but until you put it on paper, does it exist?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, you talk about, like, I mean, we did see, they kind of answered one of the big questions there about the running game getting going. We saw, again, I think Atkins mentioned that he's never worried about Trey Benson ever getting going. I don't think a lot of people are, just because of how dominant he is on the ground. And he got going in that game as well. He broke his career high, didn't he?
He broke his career high with a 62-yard rush. They broke his career high with the 85-yard rush. And then he broke his career high with 200 yards. Joined some elite company with Dalvin Cook, who he mentioned at post game, and you can talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, we worked on the trending story a bit. I worked on trending story a bit about Trey Benson has mentioned over and over again about how the rushing game has not been getting going and stuff like that. And right before that game, he got a text from Dalvin Cook saying, hey, he's like, I'm really proud of you. The rushing game's going to hit. And just, you know, hyping him up the way that, you know, someone like that should be. And, you know, especially when you're being texted Dalvin Cook like that too, and you're a running back at Florida State, that's a huge deal. And sure enough, Benson went out there and dominated. And
Importantly, he made mama happy.
He made his mom happy. It was mom's birthday. So, but it was a big night for him as well. You know, he saw LT get going as well, and then you saw Rodney Hill getting some rushes too. It was a wider performance from the running back as well, in my opinion. I think it still needs to expand a little bit more. I mean, Trey Benson's going to eat a lot of yards no matter what, but I think you need to see a little bit of a boost kind of from everybody else. I mean, things were clicking and stuff like that, but at the same time too, when they're saying they don't feel like they've played their complete game yet, or a complete game yet, or I don't know,
their A game, their best game.
Like, A game, yeah, that's the best way to put it. And I don't know how possible a perfect game is, because no matter what, people are going to find something to nitpick on. But, like, yeah, we're all the way here. We are now. They're still undefeated, which is, you know, the positive and stuff, and they're still winning stuff like that. But if they haven't played that perfect game yet, what does that say? And they're kind of lucky that they're having the stretch coming up, not to downplay Syracuse or Duke and stuff like that. But when, you know, as bad as Miami's loss was last week, them coming in, they're still a ranked squad. And then you have Florida at the end of the season, too. What does that say about pacing?
I mean, so I do think the Duke game could be a little different next year. I mean, next week. That's getting ahead of ourselves, but it depends on the health of Bradley Leonard, because that defense is going to challenge Florida State. That's a talented defense. They played well against Clemson. They played really well against Notre Dame. And, you know, so I don't think we should overlook that Duke game yet. I think it's been a good game. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves with that, those couple of things. So we can let's start looking at this week's game.
Yeah, I mean, Syracuse, they've mentioned on and on again that they bring a really diverse, unique defense to the field as well. And that's what they've been preparing for a lot of, too. They've mentioned the veteranship of Syracuse's quarterback,
Garrett Schrader.
And they've just mentioned that it's an older team, too. And Florida State's also an older team as well, to the skill level. From what I've seen, what we've seen throughout the season, is a little higher at Florida State than it is at Syracuse, but you still have a team at Syracuse that has been on the field for a long time and been together for a long time, and they're preparing for that as well, and they aren't taking this lightly. They don't take a lot of games. They don't take every game lightly. They, you know, prepare the same way just for each opponent, but they're preparing for a veteran Syracuse team to come in. They're preparing for them to give them a game. They were competitive against Clemson as well. Was that last week?
Two weeks ago. Yeah. Last week against UNC, I think that was
UNC 47. Yeah.
Well, they were not competitive last week. They were competitive against Clemson 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Last week against UNC, it was like 41-7 or 40-7. So yeah, it was not competitive. But that's, I don't think Florida State fans should read into that one. I think they're going to be the closer team that came into. I mean, Florida State's a 17-point favorite, and I have not made my prediction yet. I'm not sure exactly where it's going to go. We'll talk about that later. But I do think it could be interesting. I do think that Syracuse will make. I don't think it's going to be an easy win like last week. I don't think Florida. I think Florida State wins. I'm not sure how close of a game it is. I mean, I'm not sure how much Florida State's up. I'm not saying backups in this game playing too much. I think it's going to be a competitive game. Garrett Schrader. We talked to Akeem Dent today after practice, and he talked about last year. Garrett Schrader, someone that, you know, like to use his legs more in passing. He thinks that he's been a better passer this year. But he also cautioned, he said, you know, he's focused on one thing from a coaching perspective, like he's looking at, he's like, he's ready to face him running more this week because Florida State struggled with that. I think Florida State's cognizant of that. They struggled a little bit with the running quarterback, so I think they're cognizant of that. They're prepared for everything with Garrett Schrader. He's a veteran. He's played a lot against Florida State. So, and he's a talented quarterback. He's a good runner, decent thrower. I think last year's game against Florida State, he was a little hurt, had that little shoulder injury, so it's hard to say, like, you know, read to like what happened last year. It's hard to read into what happened last week. I think you expect closer to the Clemson game where they're going to compete. I just don't think they have enough firepower, like you mentioned, to compete with Florida State, but they will compete.
And I mean, it's a good thing for Florida State too is that they are having a lot of guys come back from injuries as well. We mentioned we saw some action from Kentron Poynter as well last game. Ja'Kai Douglas dressed as well too, and you know, we're seeing a lot of guys come back last game against Virginia Tech, which is another plus as well.
Yeah, I mean, thank. Earlier this week, Norvell said we're going to see where Bless Harris is this week. He gave an update on Johnny Wilson. He said we'll see where he is. I'd probably say those guys are questionable.
I agree.
Let's say Ja'Kai Douglas came out of the game good. Robert Scott, Norvell said he came out better than he thought, and he said moving forward, it's good for him. So there's some the team's getting healthier. It's obviously part of the season where mm-hmm. people are going to get dinged up and hurt anyways, like you mentioned, Johnny Wilson. Mm-hmm. So it's football. There's been injuries. You have to deal with them. Yeah. Just how you come out, how you respond. So it should be, I think, it looks like they'll be, you know, as healthy as you can be this part of the year.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's a part of the year where there are guys banged up, and even then, you maybe mentioned that, you know, yeah, after the Boston College game, Jordan Travis was, you know, a little bruised on his left shoulder, but, you know, it seems like he's fine now. You know, Jaheim Bell was a little banged up too, but he seems to be going at a good pace too. I mean, as you mentioned, it's October, it's mid-October. They've played a lot of football. So,
I mean, one thing we should mention, like, we saw today, is how seriously taking the Syracuse game. Like, they respect Syracuse. Is the chippiness in practice, I think, is a sign of respect.
Oh, yeah.
That we saw today, you know, Kalen DeLoach got into a little bit. Gilbert Edmond was taunting mm-hmm. the offensive line during drills. Like, they were having it was some fun back and forth. There was also, like, a little chippiness of, like, you know.
You could tell they were having some fun at some points, as you mentioned. It was Edmond that was truly having a lot of fun dancing around and taunting some of the guys after the drills. DeLoach, it looked like it got a little too competitive at some points, but it's good to have that there.
You want that fire because it shows that you respect the opponent. It shows that they're taking this week seriously. They're not taking a week off because we just won, beat Virginia Tech by 22. We get another home game against Syracuse. They're not looking at that. They're not looking at the number 14. They are hungry. I think that's what you want to see from this team at this point.
They want to win every week, and I don't think they're taking breaks on someone. I think they've seen they can't do that after what happened against Boston College, and you know, we saw Virginia Tech sneak up a little bit too. And I think they're realizing that they're a team that they can't take breaks as well, and they're not taking breaks either.
The margin of error for the team is very small.
Oh no, it is, and I don't know what happens if they end up getting a loss down the road here versus even when they're done being at home. Again, we're looking far forward, but like if a Wake Forest comes up or a Pitt, I know as bad as Pitt is, but yeah, it is a road game.
And I think the argument happens then is like, I think it'd be ironic, it'd be funny, is Florida State's got to go from like, you know, if they're a one-loss ACC champion trying to get in the playoffs, then they go from saying that the ACC is not good enough for us to say, no, we love the ACC. It's fantastic. We play, you know, but that's a conversation for another day.
It's an interesting situation right now. The focus is Syracuse right now. That will be at noon. On ABC.
ABC, yes.
Yes.
I mean, we also learned that, you know, we'll get out there. We don't know exactly when it is, but 7:30 or 8 o'clock, ACC Network for Duke the following week. So we get another night game, primetime game, which I think that's the right decision, as much as I don't want to have a night game.
Yeah, I mean, they're currently the two outside of UNC.
And Louisville.
And Louisville. I can't forget about them. They are the two big teams in the ACC right now, or at least that's the big ACC matchup right now. I know there's still a point to sell ACC games from ESPN and ABC. So
it's going to be a fun game. I genuinely believe that's going to be a good Duke's going to give Florida State. But that's once again, that's looking ahead. You know, looking at this week. You're going to have your opponent preview for later this week. We're going to have, obviously, this roundtable. We'll have predictions in there. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot going on. This will be week six. You know, Jordan Travis going for the Heisman. Will Johnny Wilson play or not? There's a lot of storylines. Keon Coleman, you know, obviously emerging as a go-to weapon last game, going back to Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. Norvell mentioned his incredible blocks. You know, he sprung the run for Trey Benson outside, which opened up the hole. He got the 85-yard run that set a new career record. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of storylines for this game. Syracuse, obviously, I think an interesting story we talked about Lawrence Tortelli yesterday by the time this comes out, Tuesday, after Tuesday's practice, he talked about how, you know, Florida State was 0-4 in 2021, the last time Syracuse came to town. And they beat them 33-30.
Yeah.
Jordan Travis had like 100-something yards passing, 113 yards rushing, scored two touchdowns. And after that point, Mike Norvell was 4-10 in his FSU career, I believe, like, if my numbers are right. Since then, they've, you know, gone on the streak where they finished that season 5-3. They finished 5-7 that year. Then they went 10-3 last year. 6-0 this year, 5-0 this year. 5-0. And, you know, they won 11 straight games dating back to last year. So it was a turning point.
It was, absolutely. I think Norvell talked about that today as well and just how important that game was.
It was just getting that monkey off the back, getting that first win. Because then they could, there's a point where you're like, you know, you don't know how to win, per se. Like, it's a cliche, but you don't know how to close games out. But that was a chance to close the game out, get a win, and see, oh, we can do this. We can win.
Right, right, right. It will be interesting to see how things go on Saturday. I think it will be pretty competitive. It'll be a good game either way, in my opinion. But we'll wrap the Seminole script portion of the video up here. Where can they find us? Where can you find all our content?
Nullsports.com, Tallahassee.com, Nullsports. We have just for football, we have a football subsection where you can find everything for football. You know, we'll have a lot of stories for, you know, this week. For this week, we do a great job of pat ourselves on the back of, you know, producing content for you guys, different content. It's not the same content you're going to get everywhere else. It's, you know.
Well, it's unique. We make sure that what we're doing is very unique, very in-depth, and offering you guys something different. But, yeah, so if you guys are interested in hearing more about FSU athletics and soccer and just how good number one team in the country has been, follow. It's going to be on Spotify, right?
Well, Spotify, and if it's also in the article, we'll have a link for their Spotify. You can just go straight there.
Yeah. But you can find that there, but we are going to cut Seminole Script right here. Okay, now welcome to the podcast portion of this now. Let's just get into it now. We're going to talk about the soccer team.
Soccer, they have a big game this week.
They have a huge game this week.
It's for the ACC lead.
It is, and I was talking to Melvin. I can't think of his last name right now, but he works for
Tomahawk Nation,
the SB Nation site. I was telling him, he's like, yeah, it's going to be exciting to see FSU play a game where it's going to be a prime time game at home. A lot of their home games lately, the Boston College game, it's as fun as it is to see them score goals.
Six goals.
You do want to watch a competitive game as well. The Florida game was competitive.
They need to be tested. Like, they don't have that battle. They're not that, like, Florida was a good team, but Florida's not going to match the
They need a marquee game, and this is going to be that marquee game. They're hosting number 11 Notre Dame. And
where are they ranked, sir?
Notre Dame.
Florida State
is ranked as the top team in the country.
Number one
in the United Coaches Soccer Poll. Coaches Poll. They're ranked number one there. I mean, they deserved it, in my opinion. They've just been dominant. I mean, if anything would show that they deserved it, is the biggest thing was their finish against North Carolina.
That was impressive. On the road.
Just on the road. You could see it was a crazy environment, too. They have seats that kind of wrap around in North Carolina. They were the number one team in the country at the time. And then you had Florida State tying the goal in the final, 3 seconds of the game to walk away with a tie in that game, in the game that they were losing. And this team, again and again, has just showed that they, in my opinion, are the best team in the country. We saw against Clemson when they went down 2-0, won that game 4-2, scoring 4 straight goals. Even when they faced adversity against teams that people might not expect it, whether it be Syracuse that we just talked about, in a different sport, Syracuse, Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
I think that those are the ones that have really given them a tough battle. I don't know if that haven't been expected from outside perspectives, but they've really come to the challenge in all of those games, and they've just been very impressive to watch this entire year.
No, I mean, I think one thing did a feature last year on Brian Pence, because a lot of fans were just like saying he's a coach that's kind of resting up laurels of the coach from the previous coaching staff, but this year's proof, especially how dominant they've been, that he's a great coach. He deserves this job. It's not just taking over for Kukorian, who got the program to great heights. Great coach.
Yeah.
But Brian Pesky, in his own right, is a really good coach, and he's doing a great job over here. Last year was an interesting situation where he came into a team that was a lot of seniors, a lot of older players, where he had to come in to a program that just came off a national championship, and he had to make sure, you can't, as a head coach, you can't come in like, these are changes we're making.
Yeah.
So he had to come in like, where can I make it work, and slowly bring my offense, my defense, what I want to do, because you can't just come in like, You just won a national championship, but I'm a new coach, and this is how we're doing it. So,
and one thing Pesky's been really great at is his he's been really good with recruiting and knowing how to use the portal. I mean, he's brought in over players. You mentioned Taylor Huff has been a big addition this year. That was a player that he had over at Tennessee.
By another player, Rainey, I believe, who got knocked out first game of the season tour.
Yeah, and that was tough to see too. But Taylor Huff, she was able to scout other schools as well. She made multiple visits before she eventually ended up committing to Florida State. And she's been a huge piece for them this year. She's one of the top assist leaders in the country right now. And just her ability to score from, not just score, but set up goals from all the corner kicks they get. That has been her specialty this year. But you got to talk about this offense too, mainly just the three strikers they have up front, and they're all led by a freshman, Jordan Dudley. She's a beast. She's a stud. There aren't enough words to describe how good she is. I know Penske's talking about they expected her to have a big impact here, but I don't know how you can expect someone to have such a big impact that is one of the top scoring leaders in the ACC and Florida State's top scoring leader.
I will say by sophomore junior year, she'll be leading a nation in goals. She's being the best player in the country. That's how good she is.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. She's dynamic. She's just this long stride that she's able. She just has so much power, and she's just so quick. That's the other thing, too. She is so fast, and she's just so much fun to watch, and she's really a threat. I mean, the Miami game that you covered, she scored two goals. That's the second game, I think, this season that she's had.
Third game
this season. She's had a multi-goal game, and she's a freshman. That's just mad, in my opinion. And of course, you have Jody Brown, who's going to be a threat no matter what. And
she's really good as well.
She's really good as well. She plays for she plays for the Jamaican national team too, and she is dynamic as well. And then even then, they have mispronounce
Biada.
No, not Biada. She's a great player.
She's really good as well.
I'll mention her in a second. Oni
Echegini.
Echegini. She's another fantastic player as well. They have these three forwards up front that just are so good. They're so fast, and I mean, Echegini, I apologize. She's a great scorer in setting a play. She has a very spread out role, but if you're getting Jody or Jordan the ball in any situation, those two are unbelievable.
The speed they have,
just the field sense too.
Jordan doesn't score a goal in this play. But it was watching Steph Curry in basketball when he does a crossover. She crossed this girl up over against Miami, and it was like watching a game in Golden State. You could hear just the fans ooing and awing.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even a goal. It was just, she just made a great move, and that's the kind of athlete she is. She is a ticket gate bringer, in a sense of that. People will come, she is worth FSU soccer's not charge, but if they did,
she's worth any price there would ever be.
She is make a comparison to a Florida State athlete. It's like watching Tania Latson in basketball in a different sense, but Tania Latson is so fun to watch. As a freshman, she was electric, mm-hmm. won a lot of boards, being one of the top freshmen. She was ACC freshman of the year, and it's natural. I don't think she got the national respect yet, but Jordan Dudley might get that sooner just because of the caliber of his team.
I mean, I'd say so too. It's just I promise we'll move on to more players in a second. But you just don't see a freshman make a dynamic impact the way she does, and she's just so fast. And it's like you said, she brings in the crowds. And I mean, she has 8 goals on the year now. She could easily have 15. Just watching the chances she develops, even the one game one of the games I covered, I believe it was Florida, she had a header. She had it right on, and it hit the crossbar square on. I think the game our colleague Liam Rooney covered, she, again, crossed over a ton of people and got the shot off, and it just hit the post. And then the game,
she had a shot at the post as well. So she's dynamic. She's going to score a lot of goals. She's going to have a lot of goals in her FSU career. I would definitely keep an eye on her.
Absolutely, and then you got to talk about the other places too.
Back during the goal, she's playing more games by herself. I don't think she's doing last year. She kind of split with Mia Justice, I believe it was last year. Mm-hmm. She kind of split time with her during a regular season so they could get both players. Mia made a decision to transfer, which makes sense. She mm-hmm. had a chance for a full. She's very talented. They had two starting caliber goalkeepers last year mm-hmm. that were really good, so they had to keep Penske had to keep them happy. But once the playoffs go around, okay, it was her goal, and she's doing a great job of maintaining back there again this year.
She has. She's made, you know, against Boston College, I know it was a blowout, but in that first half there, they did, and Penske did mention this, so I'm not just saying this, but he did mention that they were having trouble in combating what Boston College was putting out there before Boston College changed things, and then that opened up the game for Florida State to kind of just really, as he said, to open the floodgates, but
open the dam,
yeah, floodgates, dam. He said both. I mean, some of the saves she made too were fantastic as well. I know there's some games where she might not see too much action.
You mean
some,
like the Miami game where they didn't attempt any shots?
Yeah, I mean the Miami game.
That was a credit to the defense. They did a great job controlling the ball, you know. That's a great back line to have.
Yeah, I mean, on Miami there, I know Syracuse, the other goaltender that stood on her head too, but there's something in UNC is another example of probably going to be on Thursday. Notre Dame's one of the top shooting teams in the country. I know that's a look at the stats, so I'm not saying it. I'm just saying it. I have to back up everything, but they are one of the top shooting teams in the country. However, they get a lot of shots off, but not as many of them are on net. Either way, a chance is a chance. So she is going to be challenged a little bit more out there. I think she'll be absolutely apt to it and be ready for it no matter what, because she's been clutch there as well. And I know the goaltender doesn't get as much appreciation, but she's done a great job as well.
Especially when there's a shutout. Like, oh, that, who cares? Like, you know, like,
don't know how hard it is to keep a zero on the scoreboard. It's very difficult.
It's pretty difficult.
Uh-huh. But another player too, Beata Olsen. You got to talk about her as well. I mean, Penske's mentioned over and over again that her soccer mind, he's mentioned it's one of the best in the field, and that she challenges the coaches every day. And watching the way she, like, it's almost like she's playing chess out there, honestly. Just the way she navigates the field and sets up scoring opportunities. And
one thing I've noticed about her, she's always one play, like one step ahead of the defenders, everyone, even her teammates, she's one step ahead. She knows what's going to happen before it happens. Like, you know, it's fun to watch her play. She's a very smart player.
She is, and I mean, she's a player that could have a ton of goals too. I think, especially last game, she could have easily had like two goals in that game as well. It's just a post here and there, or it was one pass that was kind of off. But the way she sets up her teammates too, just the passes she gets off, and she, like you said, she's one play ahead.
Yeah, no, and like you mentioned, her mind challenging coaches. Did a feature last year, my first feature over here actually. I took over and like there's a Florida game, so I'm like, oh, let me talk to a former Florida player, you know, Beata. And Penske told me about how the first, like, he asked, like, there was like 15, 20 questions or something like that in the first team meeting. Half the questions came from Beata.
She could very much be a coach.
There's a that's her soccer future. Yeah,
her soccer mind is great, but it's, I mean, I'm trying to think of the thing about the Florida State team too is a lot of them. That's another thing to explore too is a lot of them. There are a lot of freshmen on this team. There are a lot of transfers on this team, but I mean, you see the season. Yep. It just works. It works. They haven't lost yet.
Lauren Flynn deserves a shout out for the back line. You know,
absolutely.
Player, you know, great player in the back line. Mm-hmm. When you get zero shots off, it's your goalie always did something right.
Yeah,
but your defense kept him from getting a shot off.
Right, and that's another area of the game too that's also maybe even more unappreciated as well, just the defense.
Oh, the back line, there's no stats.
Yeah, back line for Florida State has been fantastic here, and just the way they, again, another part of the game too, the way they're able to set up plays as well. I mean, some of the balls...
The offense starts in the back.
Yeah, I mean, so some of the balls that they're able to get off, some of the long shots they set up are just extremely impressive.
Don't get assists, they don't get the, you know, there's no goal, there's no saves for defense, so it's kind of hard to quantify that.
It's hard to stat up, absolutely. They're a unit that really, you know, can control the field as well too. They're able to set up offense, and as you mentioned too, they're doing their job on defense. This is a very complete team. I'm trying to think of something that, in my opinion, I've seen that they could improve on. I guess the one thing they mentioned, and they kind of did it in the Boston College game, was they want to score early and build a big lead early, because there are some games they've gotten into where they've gotten into a dogfight and it maybe shouldn't be, but on paper, but they wanted to build up big leagues. Yeah,
they seem like a more of a second half team a lot, like, you know.
Yeah,
or like there has to be like a punch thrown before they counter punch.
Yeah,
not even necessarily a goal, but a chance or something.
Yeah,
so it's a team that's kind of started slow, and that was the case last year as well. So it's kind of something I would like to see, especially against Notre Dame, that they need to come out a little faster, especially against Notre Dame.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean,
you don't want to be in a 3-2 spot down in 3 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to give the other team a chance, and you don't want to have the chance to get the lead. I think Notre Dame is the prime example of where what they did against Boston College: you score in the first 6 minutes of the game, and then I think Boston College. I mean, in any situation, they ideally want to build upon a lead. I think they wanted to build upon that lead a little bit more in Boston College, but they were able to do that later on in the game, as you mentioned, in the second half. But I mean, we've seen it in some other games as well. I mean, the Miami game was tied at zero at halftime.
Florida game was.
It was tied at zero at halftime. Louisville, I think, might have been tied at halftime as well, too. And granted, these are good teams. ACC is a good soccer conference, but jumping out to that good league would be ideal for them. But either way, this team has shown why they're the number one team in the country again and again, that second half comes around, they can respond to the challenge.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So talk about a little bit soccer. Let's talk about a little bit good men's basketball a little bit. You know,
mm-hmm.
I sat down with Coach Hamilton a couple weeks ago now, I guess. Talked a little about the season coming up. They started practice 2 weeks ago. You know, he's confident how the team looks. They got some players that they think can get back to that guard 94 feet, play full court press, and like what he wants to play. They got more of a personnel. You know, we covered a few games, covered all the games last year, but Jack got to start at the end of the year, cover a couple games, I think.
I have one game.
So they, we'll see. I think the biggest thing for them is Primo Spears, transfer from Georgetown, second time transfer. Hamilton sounded confident that he would get his waiver. He transferred because of coach firing.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's eligible, I'm not ready to say this is a tournament team yet, but they could go, you know.
Depends on what tournament.
Maybe like NCAA.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. They might be an NIT team this year. They might be closer to a 500 team if everything breaks right. If Baba Miller takes that next step.
That's a big piece, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting team. Their ceiling is not very high, but it's their ceiling is probably a tournament team.
Well,
a lower seed tournament team.
Well, but
their floor is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, well, one of the questions I had was, like, I know Matthew Cleveland carried a lot of load last year, and he just transferred to Miami, which it's funny when you look at it. Is this the offense just in general on the team ready to expand more in filling up that gap?
So Darren Green is a great shooter. He's shot really well last year, but even though teams are loading up on him to take his three-point away, because there's not a lot of threats last year for scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But he has some more helping. Primo's a good shooter. They got a couple other guys, Nickelberry, who's another good shooter. So they got some players who can shoot now and score. It just depends on, I think a lot of it comes down to, is Baba going to take that next step? If mm-hmm. he takes that next step, it becomes the player that everyone was projecting as a draft lottery pick in a 2023 NBA draft. They're going to take the next step. They're going to be, you know, like I mentioned, their ceiling is capped. I don't think they're we're going to a national championship, go make a Final Four run team, but they do have the potential to do get to the tournament, maybe win a game,
mm-hmm.
but their floor is last year.
You could say it's kind of like a pool, honestly, where there's the height of the water, but then it can go very deep.
Yeah, yes.
Well, I mean, like you said, you think this team is going to be better than it. Do you believe it's going to be better than it was? I mean, last year it was bad.
It'd be better than last year. As long as they stay away from the last year has been, like, you know, you could say bad play, yes, but it's been awful luck with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hamilton was befuddled. He's like, I was asking when we were in his office. He's like, have you ever seen things like that where a teammate experiences this kind of injury and this kind of injury and this kind of injury? You know, Jalen Gainey, who's not cleared yet, but working his way back, last year towards ACL in practice, it was right before the season.
Oh.
They lost, Cam Fletcher was figuring stuff out and went down. Matthew Cleveland was playing heavy minutes, was dealing with a back issue. They missed like a week, and that hurt him, you know. So just small things adding up. So if they can stay healthier, I do believe it's going to be a better season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be a huge, very confident team. That's going to be a great team.
Right.
I'm more confident in.
I was going to say, you flip the script there a little bit more. You have a team that has a lower bottom and a very high ceiling. Maybe if there is a ceiling or not, but the women's team.
Like I said, there's no ceiling if Tania Latson takes the next steps. I think Florida State fans know her. I don't think the nation as a whole knows who she is yet, which is a shame because she's up there with the, you know, Caitlin Clark's. She's up there with the LSU player. Why is it skipping something in my mind?
I'm going to remember it in like a random second. Angel Reese.
Angel Reese. Mm-hmm. She's up there with those players of being as talented, as creative a scorer, as good of a player. You know, she plays more defense than some of those players as well. So she's up there as being as good as those guys. And then Michaela Timpson is, you know, another player who was Florida State's second best player, wears 21 after, cause she says because of Brooke, but Brooke mentioned, like, you know, that she's wearing 21 long before she knew what she was. But double-double threat every game, points and rebounds. She's threat to go score 20 points in any game. So having her as another number two option, they have, you know, Sarah Bajedi's back. They have some other talent coming in. Tucker is a good player, transferred from a California school. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of talent. They go 11 deep this year. They lost one player to injury, so out for a season. So 11 deep this year. Kind of learned from last year. They had 10 players, and at the end of the season, the team was Latson was hurt, and the team was just exhausted. Well, they didn't play as well in the second half. So it's been a good team. It's been a fun team.
Big question is too with you know, every year with Louisville, and then you have to talk about Duke coming up as well, and then
UNC.
Well, not on the schedule. UNC on the schedule, but like, is this team good enough to win the ACC? Or maybe even easier question too, because we saw it in bracketology later in season two. Again, it's violently early, is this a team that, one, you believe could win, has a chance to win the ACC, and two, could be a higher seed, possibly a hosting seed in the tournament?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
I think they have good enough, and we're going to find out pretty early. They have a really good schedule. They play Stanford, they play UCLA, they play some of the top teams in the nation. I was interesting to go on my chat with Brooke, right after I sat with Leonard, back-to-back. And she mentioned last year they kind of scheduled a weaker non-conference because they wanted to make sure they could build the confidence of the team. They wanted to, like, it was a brand new team, first-year head coach. Last one was a brand new player, a new face to the franchise, you know, per se. And they just wanted to build confidence, find footing. This year, like, no, I think that reflects on, like, do they think they can win the ACC? Do they think they could be torching a tournament? Yes, because I think they are challenging this year. Like, look, we're going to make sure we're ready when the ACC slate comes because we want to make sure we can go win the ACC. So I do believe in that team highly.
They're going to be a lot of fun to watch, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, ACC women's basketball, it's always fun.
The ACC is always, I mean, we always have to talk about the conference realignments of a lot, but you can't doubt the ACC basketball, even on the men and women's side.
Yes, men's is always fun as well.
This is a great basketball conference.